Hello and welcome to the original, the only podcast of its kind for the Quantum Grammar Shoot, a podcast that talks about the grammar technology known as correct sentence structure, communication, parsing, syntax, grammar, i.e. quantum grammar, and how it relates to everyday life and current events. And I am your host, Colin Jason Knife and Matthew Colin Glass. This is a podcast of opinion, where I share my thoughts on a psychological level of how one would use this technology navigating through everyday now space and other related subjects. Hope you enjoy. For this episode, I'm just going to go back to the old-fashioned way of doing things and just record some audios, because that's what I have the now space to do. And every once in a while, I do have to do one of these podcasts, because people, you know, I can't expect people to go back and listen to all the other podcasts I've done, or watch my videos, or anything like that, to hear these messages that I've said ad nauseum over and over and over again, especially new individuals. So I create new content saying old things, and hopefully the message gets out there, and I only have to do this once in a great while. This podcast is going to discuss Colin David Eiffel Wynn Colin Miller and Colin Russell Hyphen J Colin Gould and the grammar mechanics that they taught in those old videos, and I place the emphasis on old videos prior to 2016. And I'm also going to talk about individuals who come onto my YouTube channel and comment, and they will make criticisms of something that they quite obviously by the criticism don't know anything about. Rather than come on and ask questions, rather than contact me, they're not there to learn the grammar, they're there to troll. And I find this out very quickly. And it's usually the sovereign common law type people who, for some reason, find a huge psychological hurdle in getting closure on the grammar. They may get closure on the basic mechanics of it at times, but the psychology eludes them. And they don't understand, or perhaps choose not to comprehend, the honor grace part of the whole thing. And being there to be understood rather than misunderstood. Now, of course, I'm speaking in plain English, because that is the language I was taught as a child. That is the language everyone that I know speaks. And so I'm not here to be misunderstood. I'm not here to have my words taken apart, because I'm quite obviously speaking in plain English to you. If you choose not to understand me and choose to pick my words apart, well, then we have no contract, and you don't have to be aboard my vessel. Now, people will say, well, Jason, you're being harsh. No, I'm not being harsh. I mean, you may perceive that. I can't tell you what you're perceiving. But my volition is not to be harsh. My volition is to be straightforward, blunt. And some people take that as it's harsh. And I can't control that. I can't. You know, I'm not going to sugarcoat things. So to go back to what I originally started talking about, those old videos, I see that there are individuals like Marcus Young Christopher, who are publishing these very, very old David Wynn Miller videos, seminars, and things like that. People still go back to these videos and learn from them. I do too. I enjoy watching David's old videos. I enjoy watching the master himself in action, 92nd Degree Mason. I love to hear his stories. He was a master storyteller. His charisma was through the roof. And I know this because I was blessed to have been able to speak with him via the phone and Skype and emails and things like that over the last year of his life. And especially speaking on the phone with him, to hear that charisma come through, it was something that I'll never forget. I got a lot of love for the guy. His kindness, his answering of the phone when I would call, which amazed me. I haven't seen anyone like him before or since that puts themselves out there into the public like he does and is willing to put his feet to the fire by putting his phone number on his website. I try to do similar things by using my email address so that anyone can get a hold of me or contact me. But I'm certainly not going to put any other contact information out there, except for those people whom I feel I can trust. And of course, I've made mistakes in those areas as well. So here's the part of the podcast where I'm going to go into detail, more so than I ever have in the past, on my opinions, my perceptions of Colin David - Wynn Colin Miller and Colin Russell - J. Colin Gould. The men who brought correct sentence structure, communication, parse, syntax, grammar to the public. Not so much now, okay, before anybody misunderstands me, I'm not going to speak to their character. I'm going to speak to the material that they brought, what came out of their mouths, what I can certify that they did or didn't do. These are the things I'm going to be talking about. I'm going to be talking about the performances, not about the characters or what kind of guys I think they are, whether they're good or bad or whatever. You know, a lot of people like to put people into categories like that. For example, a lot of people will say, oh, they see the word Freemason, bad. I don't navigate with that type of attitude. I know that good and bad comes with both. I know that good and bad comes with every group that there is. Doesn't matter who they are. I have met Masons, and they love their families just like you do. Or don't. I don't know if you do or you don't. Well, what I'm saying is there's good and bad people everywhere. If you think of a military operation, and I've gotten into conversations about this with people who are in the military. I know someone who was in, well, let's put it this way, in the front lines in Iraq. And we got into conversations about him having to kill children. He had orders to do so. You have to follow orders when you're in the military with that contract. Now, whether you do or you don't, that's up to you. You can always break contract, especially if it's under coercion, or if especially it's something that you didn't know about going into it. But what I'm saying is, when you're in those situations, in the now space, if you don't follow orders, you could be endangering your whole crew. Or whatever's going on, you have going on. Whatever you're committed to. It's the same thing with the Masons. In my mind, logically. I mean, they have sworn their allegiance to the craft. Do what they're told. For the most part, it appears as though they're as autonomous as anyone else. But they do have a grander purpose in mind. And David Wynn Miller was no exception. He came out and said he was a 92nd degree Mason. He freely admitted it. I think a lot of people overlooked that. You know, there was one individual, a good student of mine for a while, actually. He took some classes with me, a number of classes, but he just couldn't get, there were just some things he couldn't get. And what he would disappear for a while and then come back. And what the problem seemed to be was that he would juxtapose what I was teaching him with what David taught and what David said. And again, if you go back to those old videos, you will see there are multiple contradictions in what David says and the way David syntaxes. Multiple contradictions. He'll talk about judge mechanics. And Russell will also talk about judge mechanics, how you have to get the whole story before you pass judgment. Rule one, rule equal. You have to look at the whole thing. And then they'll go and say something like, when you see the word the, you put a one above it because it's an adverb. So you can go into a document and put one above all the does. That is not correct. That's a direct violation of the judge mechanics. Because if I put the word the on a piece of paper, and it's the only word that's on there, what is it? It's not an adverb because it's not modifying anything. It's a pronoun. So that's just one example. Anyways, so this individual would have problems with what I was saying. And then they went off and began saying that, well, David was a genius, and who are you, meaning me, Jason, who are you to contradict what he's saying? David never used the word finite mean. You know, David never did this. David never did that. Okay. But David also contradicted himself. And then he would go on to say, when I would show him the mistakes and the contradictions in what David was saying, and I would actually prove it to him, he would then say, well, David was manipulated. David was mind controlled. So what is it? Either David's a genius and he's superhuman, or he's mind controlled. What is it? And this is the type of thing that I'm trying to convey to you, is that I personally have gone into the grammar in such a depth, such a level, that I see these contradictions, and I don't mention them too much on my YouTube channel. I just put out what I know and can certify. Everything I say, I can certify on my YouTube channel. It's in my videos. I don't know of any other channel or any other teacher out there doing this. When I look at some of the correct sentence structure of the individual I just mentioned, and also the correct sentence structure more recently of Russell J. Gould and some of the documents he's published and some of the language on his website, I see that these individuals, there's mistakes all over the grammar. It doesn't follow the grammar, the basic grammar mechanics. And it's based upon these old videos that I mentioned at the beginning of this podcast. And I guess the best way to put it is that, personally for myself, because when I want to learn something, I want to learn it full on until it makes sense to me, until it clicks into place like a puzzle. I don't want to have any gray areas. I don't want to have any edges that have to be forced into place or guessed at. I want it to click into place and make sense, which is what the grammar did after I got closure on it. I can definitely say that anyone who has tried to learn the grammar from those old videos definitely do not have closure on the grammar. I can say that just based off of what David and Russell taught grammatically. They taught how to do things. They taught the basic mechanics, and then they would go on to contradict those mechanics in their sentences and in their syntax. Just about every video, there's contradictions. Now, I feel that David was the teacher and Russell was the student. The student can only be as good as the teacher, and the student is a direct reflection of the teacher until the teacher is no longer present in the student's life, which is very obviously what happened in this scenario, because prior to 2017, whenever David and Russell would do a seminar, if Russell was talking, David would interrupt him, and then Russell would shut up. He'd stop talking. To me, that's respect. That's honor. That's his teacher, and his teacher is interrupting him and has something important to say. And then when David was done, Russell would continue on with what he was saying. That to me is teacher-student. Master-apprentice. That's the way I took it. Even when Russell would do seminars by himself, someone would ask a question and Russell would say, David told me not to go into that, so I'm not going to talk about that. So even with David not there, Russell was still following commands or orders from David. So when I'm looking at Russell's grammar, I see David's grammar, but on a more primitive level. And so therefore, anyone Russell taught is only going to be able to go to the level that Russell taught. Do you see what I'm saying? And now that David's not here, Russell has basically morphed into a different type of personality, not teaching grammar at all in the public that I see in videos and things, but rather cutting promos, to use a pro wrestling term. Like saying, I'm the baddest man on the planet, brother, things like this. It's a good entertainment, gets you riled up, whatever, if that's your thing. Nothing to do with the grammar. Now, what the next thing is I'm going to go into, I'm trying to breeze across these things here because I don't have very much time in this podcast in like 20 minutes or so. So the next thing I'm going to go into are the performances. Do I think that these guys actually did the things that they say they did? One thing I can say for certain that I found anomalous is that when David died in 2018, for months after his death, I looked on the internet for evidence of his death. You can pretty much find a local obituary for any man or woman anywhere. It will come up on the internet. When they died, how they died, when the funeral is, so on and so forth. I could find no such thing for David. Anywhere. Nowhere. Wikipedia did not acknowledge he was dead. Nothing did, except for maybe some private forums that were talking about it, but nothing in the mainstream news, nothing in a newspaper, local newspaper, nothing. And I knew where he lived. I knew the city he lived in, the town, whatever. Had his address. No news locally. Couldn't find it. Until about a year and a day later, all of a sudden it pops up on Wikipedia. Now, if you listen to the Reno seminars, and if you look at the paperwork that was emailed out to all the people who were invited to the Reno seminar, of which I was one, I didn't go, Russell put in there that the reason why that the obituary wasn't put out there was because David was a 92nd degree Mason. For whatever reason, they kept his name out. Okay, I can buy into that. I don't have any reason to not believe that, because I looked and I could not find any evidence of his death. So I found that was strange. Now the other thing, did they really do what they said they did with the flag? Did they quote unquote capture the flag? Now, I could go into the whole thing about the language of how this works and what Russell himself has said in the past. All right, I'm going to do it real quick. Russell has said in the past that war negates contract. If you're forced to do something through threats, intimidation, coercion, trickery, that's an act of war. That negates contract. Okay? That contract is null and void if you choose it to be. Okay, good. Well, fine. Now let's go back to Russell's story about how he got the flag copyright from David. They got into a fist fight, and he literally said he beat the shit out of David until David agreed to sign over the copyrights. That sounds like coercion to me. That sounds like beating somebody up through force and making them give you copyrights. So war negates contract. The other thing, they're fond of saying they captured the flag. Look up capture. Capture is an act of war. Capture is forcing something to happen. In other words, there's a flag and it's free, whatever, open source, however you want to word it. And then here comes David and Russell and they put a net over it and they capture it. You see what I'm saying? It's also an act of war. War negates contract. Not to mention, and not going to go into, the grammar on these documents. The grammar on the flag constitution is not correct by the basic correct set and structure mechanics that David taught. Don't ask me why. I don't know. I didn't write it. I'm telling you the facts of what I've audited and what I've seen. So there's three very strong points right there. War negates contract. The forceful acquisition of the copyrights, the capturing of the flag, and the incorrect grammar on the contracts by their own rules. So now that that's out of the way, do I think that they actually did something like this? The only proof, the only evidence that I have is my own personal experience using correct grammar in my contracts, in my quo warrantos, through my postal court, things that I've done in the private and confidential to stop the trespass of huge conglomerate corporations, collection agencies, tax agencies. I've seen it work. I've seen it work. I've seen these entities vacate their positions with little to no effort on my part other than writing a correct sentence structure document and following the 12b7 through 12b1. So whether it works because they actually did all these things with the flag, or whether it works because it's my volition and my knowledge that's carrying me through, I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of both, but whatever it is, it does work. I know this. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here doing what I'm doing, uninhibited. YouTube doesn't bother me. I have over 4,000 subscribers, and my knowledge is available to the public for free on the YouTube channel. I wouldn't be doing it if it didn't work for me. One last thing that I'll touch on to try and keep it on topic here. Did David and Russell do all those things in the court systems that they say they did? Again, from 2017 through 2018, through half of 2019, I looked on the internet, all these court websites, looking for proof and evidence that David and Russell had been in court. Now, at the time, admittedly, I have my doubts, because I would think that there would be some sort of evidence, something mentioning their names, anything mentioning their names in those systems. And there wasn't, not at all. And then suddenly, in the second half of 2019, all of these court records started popping up from 2011, 2012, 2013, around that area, mostly 2012. Like multiple dozens, literally dozens and dozens of court documents with both David and Russell's names in them, as well as other names, where they're suing people for a correct grammar performance or for fictitious conveyance of grammar. There was even one that I found that they won. The fiction admitted that they had won the case, that they proved their case. Only one of many, but that's still something in the fiction. And, you know, a lot of them are just the judges talking about they don't understand what David and Russell are saying. They say that they're judges or this or that. and of some fictitious postal court, and they're using some archaic language, and it's really funny if you read the descriptions of what was going on. So to me, that's a continuance of the evidence that, yeah, they actually went out there and they were actually doing this stuff, at least during that period. And so that says a lot to me, that they would go into that system so many times. I mean, this is an inordinate amount of times. Maybe even more so than a regular attorney. Like, they were literally in that courtroom every week for the whole year of 2012 on different cases. And they would have, like, a plaintiff, defendant, and then they would have claimant, which I've never seen in a fictitious court document, the word claimant on the main cover page. You can look all this stuff up yourself. It's all still on the internet as far as I know. Just look in different... What you would do is you would put their names in the court system for maybe Michigan, California, Florida, Wyoming, wherever you think that they were, Hawaii, you know, they've been all over the place. So I can vouch for that, that I certified that with my own eyes, that the fiction acknowledged these men. Now, as far as what happened after that, I don't know. I really don't know what happened. It looked as though that they were really doing something back then, and then something happened. Something happened, and things changed. They weren't in court so much anymore, or at all, or at least there's no record of it to the public. And both of them dropped off the face of the earth pretty much with their director's party after 2016, I think it was. And then that's when the rift happened in 2017, when I remember Russell came out with some sort of military court-martial, where he did a military court-martial of Colon David Eiffelman Colon Miller, which is kind of interesting because I'll bet no one out there can find any evidence that Colon David hyphen Win Colon Space Miller was in the military. I bet adjective pronoun David Win Miller was in the military, but I don't think Colon David hyphen Win Colon Miller was in the military. You see what I'm saying? That's why these things don't add up when you really look at it. If you really get closure on the grammar, you're serious about it, you come into it unbiased, there is a lot that does not add up and did not make sense where these two men are concerned. And this is not to criticize them with a malicious intent. This is to just say these are things that not only me, but others as well have thought about over the years. And some people just don't want to hear it. They feel that these men should be on a pedestal, that they're some sort of superheroes, untouchable, can't make mistakes. And they look to them as authorities. And that's fine. There's room for those people. If that's what the way they want to live, that's fine. That's not what I do. I'm here for the facts, and I'm just showing you my presentation of the things and the conclusions I've come to, and why I, you know, now that I have a position that is established, I think it's a pretty solid position. I'd like to think that those who are serious about the grammar will seek and find my channel, and those who are really serious will contact me at jasonmatthewg17@gmail.com for the Rule 1, Rule Equal performances, and learn this grammar so that they can actually do something with it in their lives in a practical sense, rather than being spun around with myths and legends and stories and a lot of rah-rah-rah, as the TikToker Miss Reakin would say. Come in with the rah-rah-rah and the judges go running out of the room and... Okay, Alrighty then. Thanks for listening. I'll get back to the video podcast soon. Just wanted to put this out there for those coming onto the YouTube channel who are new, don't know my position. Here it is. Thank you.